This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, come on. Turn the radio on. It's Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not America's sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Gosh, I feel like that break went really fast.
Me too. It was too fast. I just wanted to hang out with you guys off air.
Thanks, Ryan. Ryan Wiggins, Brad Range, and myself here, Annie Fry in studio. We're appreciative of you spending some time with us. I just looked at the clip sheet. Do you see what the clip sheet says? Thursday, November 21st.
Oh, man.
Oh, really?
I looked at that, and I, for a second, was like, what?
The show sheet's right.
Yeah, the show sheet's right. Wait, no, that's
today's
fine.
Today's the 5th, so this is exactly 1 month since the election.
Today is a month.
Yeah.
And we are 46 days from Donald Trump taking the oath of office. And oh my gosh, I can't wait for that to happen. One of the number one things I think people are curious about, there are so many different, every time you look into a different category of what a new administration can do, it becomes almost equally or even more excited than the last category you looked at. But the idea of actually cutting government spending is so foreign to what we're used to seeing our government do. It's going to be Marco Rubio's problem as the Secretary of State. You have to go visit this new land of DOGE. We just saw Speaker Johnson took the podium and talked to the press about meeting with Ramaswamy and Elon Musk. Let's listen to what he said about his DOGE
Republicans
meeting.
Have been invited, and I think many of them will gather for this discussion. So there won't be a lot of detail for the press today, and that's by design, because this is a brainstorming session. It is the first, again, as I said, of a long series of meetings that will be held as we're laying the groundwork for the new year and the new Congress. And you're going to see a lot of change around here and in Washington and the way things are run. We need to make government more efficient. And that is what this whole objective is. It's what the DOGE effort will be about. And you're going to see a bicameral cooperation. And it will be, by the way, bipartisan. Over the last 24, 48 hours, you've seen a number of our Democrat colleagues, both in the Senate and the House, who have said, you know what? Sign me up. I want to be a part of this as well. So we welcome that. It should be a bipartisan effort. And I think we're going to do great things for the country. So I guess I'll take one or two questions. But
find $2 trillion in cuts without cutting programs like Medicaid, Social Security. Do you have confidence that you can find cuts to that level, or will this meeting be an opportunity to level set to a more realistic number? And second question, do you support clawing back federal funds that the Biden administration is pushing out in the final days, including to companies like Rivian, a competitor of Tesla?
Let me answer these questions in reverse order. We're very frustrated by what the Biden administration appears to be doing right now, and that is, as you said, shoveling money. As someone said on a hidden camera on a clip that I saw, someone in the administration who's charged with distributing the funds said, "We're it's like we're dumping gold bars off the Titanic here at the end." We take over in January, and until then, the big government Democrats are still in charge, and they're spending money, in our view, recklessly. And so, yes, we've had a lot of discussions over the last couple of days about what our authority would be to claw some of that back and to stop it. It's a serious challenge, and we need to stop it and expose what's happening. That's what this effort will be about going forward. There is an enormous amount of waste, fraud, and abuse in the government. And I think everyone knows that intuitively. And so the efforts here, both with our subcommittees that are being created here and with the DOGE effort itself, will be to explore that, to investigate it, and lay it bare for the American people to see. I think that's how we'll begin to bring about the change that we all need. So this is an ongoing effort. Yes?
Mr. Speaker. Some labor unions are already fighting back. They've already signed contracts to try and get this, that they could be able to work from home, things like that. Your reaction to that?
Well, there was a report that came out today. I don't know if you all have seen it, but someone did a little survey of how many federal employees are actually working in the office. By one estimate, it may be about 1% if you don't count the security personnel that are covering these buildings. That is absurd, and it's not something the American people would stand for. And so one of the first things that I think you'll see is a demand from the new administration and from all of us in Congress that federal workers return to their desks and get back to the work that they're supposed to be doing. I think that is common sense. What you're going to see here, the overriding theme here, is a return to common sense and a return to accountability and efficiency in government. I think that's going to serve the people well. There'll be a lot more to tell you all in the days ahead. Thanks for being here.
So the Speaker of the House walking away from the podium there and giving the update about what he expects to have happen and really saying, like, I'm not going to give you a whole lot of details right now, but the conversations have begun while they're waiting for the administration to come in. Listen to what he told Martha McCallum.
Musk wants to take government agencies from 428 to 99. Can it be done?
We certainly hope so. We want to be willing partners in that. And we have a new ability to do this now. Remember, the Supreme Court overturned the Chevron doctrine, right? That's a game-changing kind of situation. Not in my lifetime.
Yes.
But we had the opportunity to go in and really take back control from the administrative state. For a long time, they've been acting as judge, jury, and executioner on the rules that they make on industries and small business owners and the rest. So we have the ingredients. We have the conditions right now to actually be able to make really dramatic change.
428 to 99 agencies.
Wow.
Whoa.
That is huge. Huge.
I always think to myself, like, are they going to cut all of the spending and then find places they want to spend it instead? We have to cut and stop.
Yes.
Maybe rebuild the military.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Do the basic functions that a government should do. Everything he said, especially in that first little press conference, everything he said is stuff that shouldn't be Republican. That should be
American
government. That should be the way it goes.
Yeah.
Yet we've gotten to this partisan place where now you're seeing, oddly, comments, bipartisan, I'll give them that, from the left saying, well, yes, we probably do need to cut back on some of these government things, but I don't think these are the guys to do it. Let's rewind to where you said, yes, we do need to cut the government. At least we're there.
Yeah. It's amazing to think about that. That's cutting it by 75%. That's insane. Can you do that? And here's where there are people who rely on government subsidy who need that to live. And there are people who have been made comfortable in their living on government subsidy that need to not be made so comfortable as to the goal never being to get off of the government subsidy. But there are absolutely people, there are, like, if you think about Social Security and Medicare, these are promises that have been made to people, and they're in the midst of living in a lifestyle that relies on that. You can't pull that rug out from underneath them because there's nowhere for them to land and fall, and that's the promise that has been made to them. But how much of our society right now, how much of this can get ripped out of government, federal government spending, and we never even notice?
Oh, that's what's going to be amazing, is once it happens, people are going to go, oh.
How many agencies can they pull out of the system before we go, oh, huh, I guess I'm going to have to XYZ now. And then how many times do you hear about them writing checks with your money to outrageous things?
The administration requested to attach the upcoming CR additional aid to Ukraine to $24 billion. Are you planning to do that? What is your position?
I'm not planning to do that. There are developments by the hour in Ukraine. I think, as we predicted and as I said to all of you, weeks before the election, if Donald Trump is elected, it will change that the dynamic of the Russian war on Ukraine. And we're seeing that happen. So it is not the place of Joe Biden to make that decision now. We have a newly elected president, and we're going to wait and take the new commander-in-chief's direction on all of that. So I don't expect any Ukraine funding to come up now.
I'm always majorly amused by the pundits, especially from the left, who are freaking out over our lack of support for Ukraine when we're like, but what if we ended the war?
Yeah, right. Thank you.
Then the money doesn't need to go. What if we got Putin to say, I see it differently now, or I feel satisfied at this point? What if? What if Donald Trump comes in and, according to what Jim Carafano had to say, makes it so painful for Vladimir Putin, likely in economic measures, makes it too painful for him to continue on this way? What if he's able to go rally Europe to get behind him and say, no, we're not going to permit this, we're going to stand up against this, you know, whether it's an economic sanction type of a thing. And Ukraine doesn't need bombs anymore in this capacity. Problem at least temporarily solved.
It's amazing to hear some of the media and maybe leftist influencers. The light bulb goes off. They go, wait a minute. There doesn't have to be. I thought government spending was the only solution to everything. Maybe we could cut off the reason to spend at all. It's like they don't really know what to do with it. And they go, well, then you hate Ukraine.
Where do you want to, is there a place, like, I'm trying to think of, like, where do I want to see spending cut the most? It's not so much, like, one specific place, but the DEI thing. Guys, how much money are we spending? How much money of your dollars is being invested in making sure that people don't hire too many white men? Your tax dollars are going to places that have, in the past, limited your ability to access the benefit of those tax dollars because of this color of your skin or your gender.
Yeah, that's racism.
It is.
That is a major one. The thing is, it's almost like that's more of a different philosophy that just pervades everything, because that whole ideology is in all of these government agencies. I'll tell you what, the thing that encourages me the most is when you hear him, Mike Johnson, talking to Martha McCallum there. Because I hadn't heard that clip before. And he says, we're going to take the number, what was the number?
428 down to 99.
428
to 99. 428
to 99. Here's why that is so encouraging to me. Because when you hear, yeah, we're going to have a brainstorming session about how to cut government funding, that's great. Love to hear that. When you hear that there are already specifics like that, that they're talking about, that they're aiming for, you go, okay, their talks are way beyond just the brainstorming phase. They have a goal in mind, and now they're brainstorming how to get to that goal. That's great news.
I read a post that was like, it was a comment on somebody, I think it was maybe an Elon Musk or Vivek Ramaswamy, whatever. And this person was like, it said that Donald Trump didn't win the popular vote. He still has the popular vote by like 1.4 million, but he might be below 50%.
He's below, yeah, just below it.
So we've now redefined popular vote, just like we redefined recession when we were in a recession.
Yeah.
It's funny how these words get redefined right when they're no longer useful for the lefties who need to cry harder. So he was like, Donald Trump didn't win the popular vote. They only have 220 Republicans in the House, only 53 senators in the United States Senate, and they're like, there's no mandate. And I'm like, you are a loser. Like, what a dumb thing to say. And the way they're trying to utilize these numbers to try to suggest that there is no mandate, there is, and it really is all that matters. Donald Trump feels he has a mandate. Mike Johnson feels he has a mandate. John Thune feels he has a mandate. That's all you need. And if Mike Johnson is good at his job, and Scalise, who I think is still the whip, the majority whip, I think so, or maybe he's a majority leader, I have to check. But if the Republican Party in the House and the Senate agrees with the mandate mentality, It doesn't matter if they have a super slim majority like that in the House. If Mike Johnson is going to be worth his weight there in the House of Representatives, these cuts are going to happen. They're going to happen. And what you're going to see in 2026, which is a weird year to say out loud. That doesn't even seem possible. 2026. All I know about Project, or 2025 is Project 2025, so I'm going to have to recalibrate that thinking here shortly.
Well, once we get to 26, that's obsolete.
It's totally old news. Ariana Grande and Drew Barrymore are hugging. Of course they are. You're going to find yourself in a position for the American people to understand the benefit of cutting government spending. Or you're going to find Republicans who are upset that you didn't cut government spending. Or you're going to find out that they cut it in the wrong places. So this is a strategical slice. But I do think you have the right people involved in doing it. You've got non-government officials leading the charge. Lord bless that endeavor. I'm so excited.
You know what's so funny is that anytime that they go through a government shutdown and Congress is debating, it's you only really, really feel it in two ways. One is if you are a government employee or you know people who are, because they're not getting paid all of a sudden and they got to wait for the back pay once they get things rolling again. The other is they go, all right, you're not feeling it enough? We're going to shut down the national parks. And then everybody goes, oh, they shut down the freaking national parks.
Or they say they're going to sell them.
Or that. But none of that will happen under these cuts. So it is, you're going to go, well, are people even going to notice? My guess is that no, people are not going to notice at all that these things are gone.
Well, time will tell, and it will tell because it's going to happen. We're going to take a quick break here. Dory Murdoch is going to be with us when we come back, and he's going to talk about Pete Hegseth. You've seen that he has been nominated as the defense secretary in Donald Trump's cabinet. A lot of blowback coming against him. Reports written, articles written about him, talking about how his coworkers speak about him. But then you have a bunch of his coworkers who are speaking on their own behalf with their name attached to their comments saying, what in the world are you talking about? You never asked me. Pete Hegseth and his confirmation possibilities, that discussion with Dory Murdoch.
I'm on Judiciary Committee. Pam Bondi will come out of the committee with all Republicans and I think some Democrats because she's an incredibly qualified person, very ethical, former Attorney General of Florida. No better pick for Attorney General. Cash Patel, counterterrorism prosecutor, understands the government. And if the FBI doesn't need to be cleaned out, what does? So, yeah, he'll make it out of committee. I don't know if he'll get any Democrats, but I think he'll get all Republicans. I'm a big fan of his choice to be FBI director. I've known Pete for a long time. I served with him in Afghanistan. The people over there said nothing but great things about him. The allegations against Pete are all anonymous sources. I am not going to make any decision based on an anonymous source. If you're not willing to raise your hand under oath and make the accusation, it doesn't count.
So that's Senator Lindsey Graham listing off some of Trump's cabinet picks. But I've also seen quite a few reports saying that he hasn't fully committed to supporting Pete Hegseth yet for defense secretary. He has mentioned his support for Cash Patel and Pam Bondi, of course. What is the deal behind these people who are pushing back against Pete Hegseth so much? Well, let's ask our friend Dory Murdoch on a Thursday. Great to have you back, Dory, nationally syndicated columnist and Fox News contributor. Thanks for being here today.
Oh, my pleasure, Annie. Good to be with you again.
What do you make of all of these discussions surrounding Pete Hegseth? It's almost kind of, I kind of understood the Matt Gaetz division over how people felt about him, but I don't really understand what people are so scared of with Pete Hegseth for defense secretary.
Well, you know, I've always said the biggest problem on among so many GOP leaders is just fear. They're just scared, and they're not scared of anything in particular. They're just generally, they wake up in the morning, and first shadow they see, they jump in the opposite direction. And I think these guys, not all of them, but some of them, and you only need to lose, I guess you can lose three Republicans. After that, you're in trouble. And if all the Democrats stay together, these dummies are not going to get approved. But they're just scared that something about Pete Hegseth and others will cause problems. They wake up, they're scared of, you know, gee, is this tax cut too big? And, do we want to be too tough on the illegal aliens, whatever it might be? And they need to understand Trump won comfortably. He has a solid mandate. The GOP won the White House. the Senate and the House. They have a mandate to lead. They should stop being cowardly and put in the people who are going to go in. And, you know, some people think, well, he might turn the Pentagon upside down. Cash Patel might turn the FBI upside down. Pam Bondi might turn the Department of Justice upside down. Guess what? They need to be turned upside down. A lot of these bureaucracies are, at best, well-intended but bumbling and inefficient. At worst, you have a lot of political people in there who feel that even though their job is to serve the American taxpayers and follow the lead of whoever the president is and implement that president's policies, their view is, no, I'm going to go to the office today and do what I want and push my agenda, which tends to be a big government left of center agenda. And if you have a big government left of center president who wants that, that's one thing. But if you have a conservative, limited government, pro-free enterprise president, that's what he's pushing. Your job is either to row in the same direction, or if you don't like it, resign and go do something else with your life. You know, go become a law professor, or, you know, go teach or go practice tax law at a law firm or something like this. But the folks who are resisting on Capitol Hill, the senators, you know, they need to get with the program. And I think so much of the stuff that's been raised about Pete Hegseth, either it's, you know, he said, she said, sexual misconduct allegations, none of which added up to any police charges or prosecution charges, indictments, what have you. As for the story that came out yesterday in the NBC News put out this story saying that people at Fox News, or 10 people, current and former Fox News personnel, were saying that Pete was drunk on the set and he barely get through his performances and smelled like alcohol and on. Every single one of those accusations, all 10 of them, anonymous.
Yeah.
No names attached. Who knows if these people exist? They could be totally invented by the authors who wrote this story, or they might think, well, my name is not attached, so let me exaggerate or create something from scratch or take some small thing and blow it out of proportion. So I like the Lindsey Graham standard. If there's not a name attached to an accusation, it doesn't count. I really like that. That ought to be a new standard, because the left is pushing all these, you know, it happened with Kavanaugh, it happened with Hegseth, it's happened with so many others. They just have these stories about anonymous sources. You know, anonymous sources saying, oh, Donald J. Trump said he didn't want to go to that World War One cemetery in Paris when he was outside Paris when he was president, because those people were suckers and losers. People were buried there, and he didn't want to get his hair wet in the rain. All those are anonymous sources. Four anonymous sources came out and said that. I was able to put together in several pieces after that horrible story by Jeffrey Goldberg of The Atlantic. I believe it was 16 people who said on the record they were in Paris. That wasn't true. That was a pack of lies. So I think we should stop listening to anonymous sources and listen to actual sources where people stick their heads up, put their names out, and have to stand by their word and pay the consequences if they don't.
Yeah, amen to that. Deroy Murdoch speaking with us right now. I looked it up. Lloyd Austin, the current defense secretary for Joe Biden, he was approved. He only had two people who voted against him. One of them was our Missouri Senator Josh Hawley, and the other one was Mike Lee. All of these other Republicans right now who are in the mix to approve the people who Donald Trump says he wants in his cabinet in order to affect the changes that the American people agreed with him and sent him into the Oval Office once again. What do you make of any of this posturing by the senators right now who are, it just almost feels a little too much, I want my moment in the spotlight because I'm the one who gets to say yes and I'm going to drag this out a little bit. It's very annoying to me.
What is annoying? If they want their moments in the spotlight, they should stand up, especially in the middle of right now. I mean, controversies directed against Pete Hegseth. You know, if you want to look courageous, you know, stand up with him and hold a press conference and go into the Senate gallery and say, you know, I, Senator Smith or Jones, stand with Pete Hegseth and stand up next to him and say, you'll make a great defense secretary. We'll go about undoing the damage that Lloyd Austin has done as Secretary of Defense. You know, people say, well, does Pete have the ability to run this big bureaucracy? You look at a guy like Lloyd Austin, lots of experience. He's got, you know, as a general, he's been there for decades. And yet this is the same administration that brought us the disaster in Afghanistan, the endless hunt for white nationalists in the ranks. This is the most integrated institution in America. And the first thing that they did is, oh, well, we got to have a stand down. They literally told every unit, you know, stand down and spend time thinking about DEI and critical race theory. And, you know, white people feel guilty about what you did, and black people feel like victims of slavery, and on and on and on. And then Austin had a surgery. He disappeared for, I don't know, a week, 10 days, didn't tell the President of the United States, didn't tell the White House Chief of Staff, didn't tell the National Security Advisor. And look, you have to get surgery. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. And if you don't want to make it public because you're embarrassed about prostate cancer, whatever it is, you don't have to give a press conference, but you absolutely need to tell the President of the United States, the National Security Advisor, I'm going under the knife. I need to take some time off. Please deal with my deputies. If it's really crazy, contact me. If not, I'm going to take a week off and try to get better. And yes, the response is, great, get better, wonderful. You know, we look forward to seeing you when you're better. That's A-OK. What you don't do is just disappear and go AWOL, the guy running the Pentagon, and nobody knows where he is for 3, 4, 5 days. I think Pete Hegseth can do better than that. I think if he can do better than Lloyd Austin has done, that will be a great success as Secretary of Defense. And I'm looking forward to great service from him as running the Pentagon.
Well, I encourage listeners right now to check out your article on the Spectator, because you've really outlined all of the people who have come with their name attached to it that have worked with Pete Hegseth and would know him as an individual. A lot of people are likening this to the Kavanaugh treatment, and they've really honed in on Pete Hegseth of all of the nominations. And you have very nicely put all of these people who are defending him publicly with their name attached, like I said, into one place for people to understand that there are a lot of character witnesses out there that don't mind being personally attached to supporting him. And hopefully we'll see Donald Trump get his cabinet and get this done pretty quickly.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. The piece is on the Spectator website right now, and I quote 15, the anonymous sources in the NBC story, 10 of them, none of them with names attached. I have 15 people here with their names attached who say they've worked with Pete Hegseth over the years. They've never seen him intoxicated, never smelled alcohol in his breath, none of the behavior that's alleged in the NBC News story. None of them have seen anything like this. The two most compelling witnesses, I think, are his co-hosts on Fox and Friends Weekend, Will Kane, and he said the following. I said, put my name on it, on the record. It'll be your only record source. Pete Hegseth, he's worked with him all these years. I said, sign the guy who sat next to him for eight hours every week for 5 years, starting at 6 a.m. And he referred to the NBC News story as, shall we say, horse waste. That's, I guess, what the point put it.
Yeah, he did.
On the air. Rachel Campos Duffy, who's the other co-host with Hegseth at Fox and Friends Weekend, says here, the losers at NBC News never reached out to me either. Will Kane is right. You now have two people who sat next to him eight plus hours a week on the record. Will you retract or correct your story? And I think it's very significant that they worked with him every weekend. Sometimes he'll also fill in during the week sometimes at 6 a.m. Now, if you're out on a bender, you know, you might be able to get your act together for a 4 p.m. or 5 p.m. broadcast. If you're on at 6 a.m, you're very likely going to smell like booze and be kind of stumbly and not in very good shape and, you know, clutching onto your stomach and, you know, drinking down Alka-Seltzer. So if he, in fact, went on these benders that are alleged in this story, people who were working with him on the air at 6 a.m. are going to notice. And for 8 years, these people worked, you know, literally sitting right next to him. They say they saw no such thing. So that story from NBC News, I started my journalism career on my junior high school paper, ninth grade. And we were told, you know, you need to have sources of names on them, especially if you're alleging people of, you know, crimes or misbehavior or whatever. And that NBC News story did not reach the level of what was expected of me as a journalist on a junior high school paper.
Yeah, maybe we need to get people back to that line of thinking. Last question before we let you go. We're speaking with Duroy Murdoch, and you can check his piece out in The Spectator. Go to spectator.org to see Duroy's piece on Pete Hegseth. Atlantic, you mentioned The Atlantic, and gosh, it's like all you have to say is there was a piece in the fill in the blank, and then everybody knows at this point where we're headed with whatever the subject matter is. Did Donald Trump's victory have a measurable effect on how these types of media outlets, this version of journalism, how successful it's going to be in the next coming years?
I don't sense much of that introspection, if you will, on the part of the media. I do see some Democrats saying, look, we pushed it too far. We've got to dial this back. There's a gentleman whose name, I can't think of his name right now, I'm afraid, but he's a former New York State senator who's running for DNC chief. And I saw an interview with him, and he was saying, look, we need to move more to the center. We've been pushing extremist stuff. You know, people don't want to hear how they're going to pay their grocery bills. They don't want to hear about, why their 10-year-old boy's penis needs to be removed and he needs to go from being, you know, Jack to Janet. They're not interested in that. So that gives me a sense that elected officials in the Democrat Party, to some degree, are thinking about this sort of thing. I've not seen anything from anybody in the media on the left other than, you know, he's still Hitler and we got to stop him and he's out of control and he has no right to do this. What election? I've not seen any I can't think of anybody in the media who's dialed things back. Yeah. Some of the politicians a little bit. None of the journalists I've been able to tech, but still, you know, full speed ahead, tear Trump down no matter what.
Sure looks like the consumers of that media have decided to opt out, at least maybe for the holiday season. Maybe they'll come back come mid-January next year when things really start to fire up. But it looks to me like the American people are like, well, enough of that, because they felt lied to for quite some time. But we shall
enough
see.
Already, yeah.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. Good journalism by you and The Spectator. We appreciate you as always, and look forward to having you back next week.
All right, Annie, likewise. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye, Droy. Droy Murdoch is a nationally syndicated columnist, Fox News contributor as well. Are we ready with this? I want to go to this. This is a news alert, and, you know, I've been seeing some of the comments come in on the YouTube chat that alerted that this was happening. Fox News just covered it, but there's been a pretty significant earthquake off the coast of California. There's a tsunami warning. Let's listen into Fox News and their report.
Coast of California, 7.0 magnitude at 10:44 local time, prompting a tsunami warning for coastal areas. At least 5 million people are under the tsunami warning. We know that California Governor Gavin Newsom has been briefed on the earthquakes off the coast of Northern California and the resulting tsunami warning. Obviously, grave concern about this when you consider the west coast of the United States is a highly populated area, Sandra. And I'm reminded that 20 years ago this month, the day after Christmas, of course, with the tsunami that rocked Thailand. And so officials on the west coast taking it very seriously.
Yeah. So that's the report from Fox News Weather. Earthquake, tsunami warning. We'll keep an eye on that and see if something materializes here, at least until 3 o'clock, and we hand it over to the Mark Reardon Show. We'll have a quick break. Ryan Wiggins will join Brad and myself back in studio here in just a few minutes. Don't go away. Let's discuss this question upon Ryan's return, and we'll throw in some of your comments as well from the Annie Fry YouTube live chat. The poll today is, will Joe Biden pardon himself? And Kurt starts us off and says, yes, he is totally evil and corrupt, second only to Soros and company. Joe says, why stop now? Any legacy you had is long gone. Don't die in jail. This is like a courtesy thought there. Let's take a quick break. More Annie Fry Show and the poll discussion when we come back. What are the odds that Nelly is driving around St. Louis right now listening to his song on 97.1?
In the 90s, the 90 percentile.
I thought you meant like the 1990s.
No. Way up there as far as percent chance.
Nelly, man, if you are, we'd love to talk to you. We don't even have to tell people we did it.
Yeah. We can change your name. We can be like, this is a St. Louis rapper.
Smelly.
Named Deli.
There's a lot of funny names. That Belly, Jelly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mentioned one just a second ago. Deli.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. D-E-L-I, though. We have fun.
We? Nelly's like, I ain't listening to this crap.
Nelly was listening.
He was like, oh, well, that might. No.
When we were talking about Mike Johnson and Doge, he's like, all right.
He's trying to listen to 96.3, and he just went a little too far on the dial. Who are these people?
Hey, that's me.
We're going to get a cease and desist on using his songs.
Yeah. And his name. Yeah, and his city.
We're just associating him with everything. This whole hour's been sponsored by Nelly.
No, in fact, it hasn't. Another disclaimer. What is this? The View? Who am I? Sunny Hostin? Nothing we say here has truth to it. It's like Sunny Hostin. She should get a shirt.
Mm-hmm.
A disclaimer shirt.
Yeah, she should just like rip her overshirt open and be like, disclaimer time, and like all the lights come on. I mean, she would have a shirt on under it that said disclaimer.
You left that part out.
You're doing a disclaimer on your disclaimer.
Nelly is definitely not listening.
Anytime she reads a disclaimer, she should rip her shirt open.
I can't stand by this type of behavior from you, Ryan. It's shameful.
Well,
Make it worse. Don't make it worse.
He wasn't kidding when he said The View revs his engine.
Only since they started reading disclaimers. Now I'm all in. I love watching that show now. Every day at 10. It's View time. Feet go up. Mark Cox hangs out with me in the office. We just kind of watch
it. Do not put his name on this. Do not besmirch the name of one Mark Cox in your weird fantasies about The View.
I'm not. This isn't fantasies.
Somebody tell Mark Cox, if you're friends with him, text him right now and be like.
Don't do that.
You and Ryan, turn on The View and close the door.
Mark's probably listening. Anytime I ever do this, yeah. Mark the next day is like, well, I heard you talking about our view watching sessions. And I'm like, what? I can't get anything by you.
You're not like my
wife. That's not what he's going to say. That's not what he's going to say. You want to clear anything up or you feel pretty explained?
What needs to be cleared up?
Nothing. Nothing. Nothing at all. I'm just watching my phone, waiting for that text message to come through. The YouTube live chat poll, if you go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel, will Joe Biden pardon himself? Yes or no? I played that clip a little bit earlier in the show from CNN. What's her name? CNN's Kate Bedingfield. Didn't she sing a song?
I think that's Kate Beckinsale.
Or Natasha Bedingfield.
Natasha Bedingfield.
Is that a person?
Same person.
Kate Beckinsfield's an actress, isn't
it
she?
It might as well be. Talking about pardons and Joe Biden.
President Biden sparked a wave of bipartisan backlash this week, announcing the sweeping pardon of his son Hunter. But according to new Politico reporting, it may not be the only pardon that Biden grants. Jonathan Martin reports this. President Joe Biden's senior aides are conducting a vigorous internal debate over whether to issue preemptive pardons to a range of current and former public officials who could be targeted with President-elect Donald Trump's return to the White House.
So there you have them talking about these potential pardons. I think everyone likes to point out there's an admission of guilt that goes along with a pardon. Is Joe Biden going to pardon himself? And are they going to go over the top in the accusation that Donald Trump is going to just come out with, you know, guns a-blazing, revenge for everyone? So I guess we have to issue these pardons because we don't know what he's going to come after us for. He's crazy. Is he going to pardon himself?
No, I don't think he will, because that will be sort of an admission of guilt. It'll put the spotlight back on his crimes, in a sense, or potential crimes or pardonable crimes, instead of him being able to kind of skirt it. The weird thing is that when you start pardoning people, then you do kind of bring up what has been happening with Hunter over this last couple of weeks, which is everything, all the indiscretions that he was participating in since 2014, apparently, because they were very specific about that, are now under greater scrutiny than if they hadn't pardoned him. So I've seen people suggesting that they still actually go through with the investigation now and just not sentence him, just like they've been doing with the president. I just think this could backfire too big for him to go ahead and pardon himself.
I think he's backed himself in the corner and he needs to pardon himself. Because
you two should fight. First, rip your shirts open.
Okay, done.
It's your rules, not mine.
Yeah. This is Hulkamania.
But I mean,
just say brother a bunch of times.
I think he's lost his Fifth Amendment. Hunter's lost his Fifth Amendment because he can't claim it. He can't charge it because he can't be charged with anything. Therefore, he can't incriminate himself. But if he has to sit in front of people and to keep himself out of jail, not lie to investigators while under oath, then he could be incriminating his father. And I think Joe Biden's backed himself into a corner and he has to do it if he wants to keep his own name out of this.
Think Joe Biden's a criminal?
Yeah.
He's the president. Yeah, he's probably a criminal.
He's probably a criminal. He seems to have, he's done all of the things that a criminal would do. You set up so many shell organizations that you are protecting yourself from peering eyes. He's done all the stuff. So he hasn't been scrutinized enough to know whether or not, to know what his crimes would be. That's the problem.
You think he's a criminal?
Well, yeah. I mean, even if you just go back to the documents case where they said, yeah, we would prosecute him, but he's old and senile, so
yeah,
we can't do
that
it.
That too, yeah.
So, I mean, the prosecutors there said, there's enough evidence here, and the only thing that's keeping us from doing it is he might get some sympathy because he looks like a well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory. So I think he is a criminal, based on that.
That'd be a funny shirt, too. That's all I think about these days. You brought the documents case up, and they made that he is a criminal, but I also think he did some other really bad things.
Yes.
And I don't need to see Joe Biden in an orange jumpsuit, but I do want to know what happened. I want everybody who was attached to the grift, I want everybody to be known. Because I don't want that bologna sausage taking place in our government system anymore. And I want everybody who votes to know who was willing to support that type of a system before. That's what I want to know. Quick break. Do we have any? Are you okay? Yes, we do. Trisha coming in about 30 minutes. Don't go away.
Get more at 971talk.com.